The show's live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And it's all music on today's show, including some played live for us in our studio by a group called Tangata. And they're playing some tango music for a tango dance tomorrow night at the Cranet Art Museum on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign. And then later on the show, a group called the High Bees, who are going to be playing traditional Irish music on the Piper's Hut Concert Series tomorrow night in the Independent Media Center in the old post office building in downtown Urbana. Hope you'll stay with us. And we heard some music by Felix Mendelssohn, continuing from his Midsummer Night's Dream, a song with chorus, as it's simply called. Lucia Popp was the soprano, and the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, Klaus-Peter Flohr, here on Live and Local on Illinois Public Media. Thanks for joining us on the show today. And on the show, for the first portion, we have a quartet of players, three of whom I have met in other groups and individually, but one of whom is, although I've known his name for a long time, although I'm always asking people how to pronounce it, is the bass player Armand
Baudouin.
Baudouin, okay, who's the bass player with the group called Tangata. I think I have the vowels in the right order. Dorothy Moderano on the violin, George Turner on guitar. George has been here many times with different groups, and Chris Raymond normally on piano. In this case, he's got the piano accordion. Thank you all very much for coming on the show today.
Our pleasure.
Dorothy, was this group your brainchild or what?
Well, it was a dancer's brainchild.
The dancer's brainchild, meaning the tango group that you're going to be playing for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
At the Cranet Art Museum.
Yeah. And that, Maylee, and Cheryl and Chantel are, you know, local, really fine tango artists.
Maylee Senner is the one who came up.
Yeah.
He's kind of the organizer for this.
Right.
And this is, the event is at 8 o'clock tomorrow. It's called a milonga. Which
right.
is essentially...
It's an event. It's also the name of a song, you know, like a style in tango. But in this context, it means an event, a dance.
And it's at 7, right?
Right.
Is it at 7?
7 to 9.
And it's 6.
Oh, yeah, so it is. I'm getting my two... We're talking about two concerts that are tomorrow night. The other one is at 8 o'clock with the High Bees playing a traditional Irish music, so... Mm. I suppose people could go to the first hour of the dance and then run over and hear some Irish music, and then I'll bet you the dancing goes on for a while after that. I'm just guessing, but you just never know. Is this the first dance you've played for?
No, we've done three or four other events at Cranert.
And where do you get the name? I mean, it's sound obviously
it's
the tango
a,
part.
It's sort of a play on words, just. It's foolishness.
There's a piece by Esther Piazzolla called Choral Tangata, which we really enjoyed just listening to and playing. And I asked an Argentinian friend of mine, what is this word? And he said, well, it's kind of a made-up word. And so then I thought, well, play on that word. Or we thought, well, a play on that word, Tangata. So.
Yeah, so tango ta. Yeah. Is that tune in your repertoire?
Yes, but we don't do it with it's not that danceable.
Well, so that's the thing about a lot of Piazzolla's music. He didn't really mean for it to be danced.
Yeah.
Although
well, that certainly.
Yeah. Although I've learned in the last year that there's like factions of tango dancing mm-hmm. within Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. And some of them say, oh, we'll never dance to Piazzolla's music. And some say, oh, we love to dance Piazzolla's music. And there's probably some in between that say, well,
you
know. You
have to be pretty skilled to dance to his music. And then it also, it can be played in a way that can be danced to.
Well, we should probably hear some music that you brought with you that is meant to be danced to. I assume this is some of what you'll play tomorrow night?
Yeah. We'll play a song called A la Gran Muñeca. Jesus Ventura is the composer.
Okay. It's the group Tangata here on Live and Local. Called Tangata playing for us live in our studio here on Live and Local. And Dorothy, tell us again the name of that tune. Now that
Grande Muñeca.
Which is something in the grand something.
In the grand style, I suppose, but I'm not sure. My Spanish is iffy.
Yeah, you have to work on that if you're going to be playing tango music with any regularity. I mean, you play, Dorothy,
we'll ask George.
Well, George, I mean, between the four of you, you play so many different kinds of music. I mean, Dorothy, you know, concertmaster of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, and you play a lot of new music for solo violin and other things, and what else are you currently involved in?
Compost. We have a group called Compost.
Seriously?
Yes, I'll send you the website. We're playing in New York in 2 weeks.
I'm afraid to ask what kind of music.
New music.
For GarageBand? I was thinking garbage, you know, compost and their garbage band.
No, it's rich and
loamy.
Earthy and loamy.
Yeah. Armand Baudouin is a bass player, and also you play cello. I mean, and I notice you're listed as playing both in this particular group. Do you go back and forth, or just whatever suits your mood on a given day? Or
it's bass player first. I had a bass teacher early on recommend at some point in life to take a look at cello because the literature is so wonderful, and there's so much to learn about bowing from a cellist. And so it's very much a second instrument, but there are some things where it just fits nicely. So I'll switch over to it every now and again.
I would think that tango music could really benefit from the what can be really gorgeous sensuality of that instrument.
Yeah, especially alongside violin.
Yeah. But we just have the bass today, so this is really a teaser for tomorrow night's thing. You'll have both instruments with you?
Yeah, I'll bring both tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And George Turner's, as I mentioned earlier, been on the show lots of times, but you play in another tango group.
Yeah, Tango Espejo, that we've been in here on the show before with that group, and that group plays more like kind of, not exclusively, but mostly Piazzolla stuff, and it's more arranged kind of stuff.
More difficult to dance to.
Yeah, I would say this group is more danceable for sure, yeah.
And it sounded like this is pretty thoroughly arranged music. You know, it's mostly written out or not?
No, we mostly make up what we do and trade back and forth without even discussing it ahead of time, which can be dangerous, but it's more fun that way.
But you're all pretty adept at that sort of thing, I would think, between the four of you.
Yes.
With lots of different jazz style. Well, and Chris, you're normally mostly a jazz pianist, right?
Yeah.
Which is how you've been on this show before.
Right.
How long have you played the accordion?
Oh, sort of off and on for a few years, but I just started playing in a couple groups on the accordion for about a year ago, I think, and I've only played with this group for a few months, I think, right?
Yeah.
Since October, maybe, or something?
Something.
And you normally play piano with this group? Or
no,
or
I started out playing both, and I'll be playing both tomorrow, so keyboard and accordion.
Because certainly the accordion, in the form mostly of the bandoneon, the Argentinian concertina, technically speaking, is figures in a lot of tango music. But then in Piazzolla's arrangement, so does piano especially, and lots of other people. So.
Yeah.
This could be a lot of variety, and the one time I popped my head into a milonga or the tango dance event, I was really kind of amazed at how decked out everybody was.
That's one of the loveliest things about it, that people dressed to the nines, and it's a feast for the eyes from the shoes. Right
from the shoes up, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, both men's and women's. I mean, the women's are typically in quite high heels.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's supposed to aid the sexiness of the dance, or does it actually aid the dance itself? Do any of you do any tango dancing?
Oh, very little.
I do a little bit, yeah.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
Have you gone to one of these milongas as a dancer?
Yeah.
And so what's the motivation for getting decked out?
I don't know. So everyone's doing it.
It's fun and it looks great.
Well, and you have to have shoes, I would think, that slide around the floor because there's a lot of spinning on your toes or turning on your toes and it was really kind of fun. I'm thinking, gee, this almost looks too sophisticated for me to try, but Because I've heard that tango can be quite complex to learn as a dancer. Mm-hmm. And yet, George, you manage it.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, I guess.
But they don't kick you off the floor.
Well, a beginner can enjoy it, too, because the initial steps are very simple. And then you can add as much complication as you want.
Well, a lot of the tango events, there will be early sessions where you can learn some stuff. I don't know that this one has that.
I think it does, doesn't it?
No, it will next semester.
This is a tango milonga that's happening tomorrow night from 7 to 9 at the Cranford Art Museum on the University of Illinois campus.
I should say that the curator there is one of the ladies there is giving a 20-minute tour of a couple of her favorite pieces, or maybe just one of her favorite artworks.
Before
we start.
So show up maybe 6:30, something like that.
Yeah, 6:40, I think she...
Yeah, a lot of this happens because of the vision of Ann Sautman, the education director at Cranford Art Museum. And you mentioned, you know, people being decked out. From our vantage point, looking out, one of the nicest things is to see all these people dancing in front of this artwork. It's just visually a very moving experience.
Yeah, it's a fabulous setting.
And the floor is wonderful for dancers.
I think so.
It's probably the best floor they have anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Our show today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Courier Cafe, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, whether it's almond French toast for breakfast, garden fresh salads and homemade soups for lunch, or burgers and hand-dipped shakes for dinner. The Courier Cafe in downtown Urbana has been offering fresh choices for 30 years. What's our next dance tune?
We're going to do a Piazzolla tune called Libertango.
Oh, this is one of his, probably his best-known tunes, I think.
Yeah. It's pretty well-known, yeah.
Another play on words. It's the group Tangata here on Live and Local. Thank you. One thing that's amazing to me about Piazzolla's music, that was his Liber Tango, played here by Tangata, is that there are so many different arrangements, some of them made by, or at least sanctioned by Piazzolla himself, and others made by lots of other people. And they really can take on a very different face, depending on the instrumentation and the arrangement. Mm-hmm. And that was lovely. That's, when you're playing for a dance, as opposed to, you know, a performance such as what we're doing right here, do you have to adapt tempo for the dancers? I mean, is that a good dance tempo, or are they going to tell you, that's too fast, that's too slow?
Well, some will say it's too fast, and some will say it's too slow.
Meaning is probably just right.
You know? I don't know.
Everyone has an opinion, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you find you have to flex at all, or you just start playing and they start dancing and that's it?
I think pretty much, yeah.
One of the main things is to construct, and this is working with Maylee Sehner, is to construct sets and to keep the energy level high, not to have breaks or, you know, have songs move into other songs, have the songs arranged, have a pair of waltzes, but just basically to keep the energy level up for the set so that there's not just dead time on the dance floor.
So you certainly wouldn't do what we're doing right now, which is exactly. Talking in the middle of things.
No.
Well, then in that case, just to keep things a little more realistic, I'm going to let you go out with one more tune after I reintroduce everybody. Tangata are violinist Dorothy Martirano, bass and cello player, in the case of today's show, just the bass, Armand Baudouin, and George Turner plays the guitar, Chris Raymond will play both piano keyboard and piano accordion. He's playing piano accordion on today's show. In a tango event, or milonga, organized by Maylee Sehner. It's going to be tomorrow night from 7 to 9 at the Cranet Art Museum in the Gelvin Knoll Gallery on the University of Illinois campus on East Peabody Drive. For more information, go to kam.illinois.edu. And coming up, we have some traditional Irish music with the High Bees, who are also going to be playing tomorrow night. What's our going out tune here, Doro?
It's called Silueta Porteña.
Tangata playing live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for our show today comes in part from the Prairie Ensemble, which opens its new season with A Taste at Tiernan's, an old opera house in downtown Urbana, on Tuesday, November 16th. Light snacks and a tasting of German wine and beer will accompany Beethoven's Septet in E-flat. Details are available at 355-9077 or prairieensemble.org. My guests on this portion of Live and Local are Kate and Jody Dowling, who are the core of a group called the High Bees that play traditional Irish music. They're going to be on the Piper's Hut concert series tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, playing at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana in the old post office building. And very pleased to welcome you both on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Kevin, for having us.
Our pleasure.
First, I guess, obvious question is, what does the name of your group mean? I didn't find any reference to that on your website, although it might be there somewhere.
Well, we better talk to our tech support person about that then. Well, the High Bees is short for Hibernian, and Hibernian is the old Roman word for what they called the island that is now Ireland. But it's also, more importantly, the name of one of our favorite bars in the world, which happens to be in Cork City, and it's called the High Bee.
You know, maybe I did see that somewhere on there. I'm going to have to check my own reading in any event. Sort of reminds me of, I just finished reading The Lord of the Rings for the umpteenth time, and all the, you know, there's so many different names for the same places and even the same people. And I guess that applies to the real world, too, with Hibernia for Ireland.
That's right, yeah.
Truth and stranger than fiction, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and then the Irish call Ireland, what do they call Ireland in Irish?
Era,
there we go.
Yeah. Or Erin.
Erin. Mm-hmm. And how you guys have been involved in this business almost since you were born, especially in Jody's case, I guess.
Both of us really have been playing music a long time. And Jody, why don't you talk about yourself first?
Yeah.
Well, my parents are both from Ireland, and so we had a lot of music around the house. And I had the benefit of having a brother 5 years older and being the youngest. My sisters were dancers, and one of my sisters is a singer, and So we were always kind of involved in musical activities from a pretty young age. I really started to embrace and love traditional Irish music a bit later when I was in my teens, and really went for it from there. So, but that's been a while, I have to say.
And has it always been the fiddle, or have you dabbled in other instruments as well?
Well, I actually, you know, I studied, I was given lessons on the fiddle, the violin, when I was growing up. And then I, you know, did a typical sort of teenage thing and rejected everything that my parents gave me. And I put down the violin for about a year, I'd say. And when I tried to come back to it, I was kind of slow to pick it up again. And I actually found a mandolin sitting around the house, and found that easier to get good intonation with the frets right on the fingerboard. So I played mandolin for a while, and you know, I've messed around with some other instruments like the cittern, and more recently the concertina. I've tried my hand at, but really I try to focus on the fiddle, and when we play out.
The cittern, that's an instrument that I've seen mentioned mostly in the context of, you know, like Renaissance, European Renaissance music, and I'm not sure I've ever seen one. What is that instrument?
It's related to a bouzouki, which you would see quite often in Irish music too, and bouzouki is the Greek instrument for choruses, can be sort of like in the range of a mandocello. And the cittern is related to that, but it's five courses, I think they call them, so five sets of strings. Quite often you tune them like in octaves to each other. So you play it sort of, in Irish music, you'd play it similarly to a guitar or a bouzouki, and sort of backing the tunes.
And we should probably, for our listeners, just clarify the spelling of that word is not what you might think. If just hearing the name, you'd come up with other associations. It's C-I-T-T-E-R-N, if I'm remembering right.
That's right. Yep, that's the spelling I've got.
Yeah. And Kate, you were a championship-level dancer, I understand.
Yes. My story's not as romantic as Jody's because my parents are American.
But dancing is always romantic.
but I grew up in Chicago, in the city, and I started taking Irish dancing when I was about 5 years old, and I've got five siblings, so there's six of us in our family, and one of my sisters was taking flute lessons, Irish flute lessons, and of course I had to keep up with my sister, so I insisted on learning the tin whistle when I was about five as well. So I started then. Basically, my parents sent all six of the kids, or whichever ones were out of diapers, were sent to the church basement on Saturday mornings, and we learned dancing and music. And I did that pretty much until I was about 15 or 16 years old, that I learned music and dancing, and I competed in the feshes and competed in the music competitions. And later, when I started playing music in St. Paul with accordion player named Patty O'Brien, he encouraged me to pick up the wooden flute. So I've been playing the wooden flute now about 7 or 8 years.
So why Irish dance, and why the tin whistle instead of, you know, what kids are more likely to do, which is some other sort of dance like ballet or the regular old flute? Why did you gravitate to the Irish stuff?
Well, you know, it wasn't so much a choice as just what was available around me. The neighborhood I grew up in was full of immigrants from Sicily, so I could have done Italian music, I suppose. They were Sicilian and Irish immigrants in my neighborhood in Chicago. And so it was just what was available, what was around. We didn't have a lot of resources in our family at that time, so we embraced what we had. My family does have Irish heritage, but on the other side of my family, I'm actually Austrian. So I just wound up doing the Irish.
So you play Irish music in lederhosen then, right?
Oh, well, women typically don't wear lederhosen, but we can talk about that later.
Or is that even Austrian? That might be German.
Oh no, it is. It goes throughout the Germanic countries, the Lederhosen, definitely.
But only for the men. Only for the men, I guess.
That's right. The women get to wear beautiful dirndl dresses.
Oh, dirndl. See, that's a word I couldn't have come up with on short notice here. And you guys met through this whole medium, and the rest was history, as they like to say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sitting
There's
in a session,
festival,
right?
There's a festival up in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Irish Festival. We met at that event a number of years ago.
Well, we opened with a tune called, a set of slides, Nellie Mahoney's Tadeen the Fiddler. Is that how you say that?
Yep.
And Pete Bradley's. What are slides as opposed to reels or hornpipes or jigs?
Kate, you want to take that one?
Okay. Sure. A slide is in a 12-8 time signature. So they are related to jigs, which are 6-8 in time. And they're related to slip jigs, which are 9-8 in time. But really what the major difference is the type of dance that is danced to a slide as compared to a jig or a slip jig. And a regular jig can be danced by a solo dancer. A slip jig is danced only by women dancers. It's also a solo type of step. But the slide is a type of dance that you do as a group of about 8 people, kind of like set up in a square for square dancing. It's very similar type of dance that you would do with a partner. And it's a really fast, bouncy type of a tune they're just a whole lot of fun to play. And frequently, you will only find slides as a type of tune and as a type of dance that come out of the southern part of Ireland, mostly from Cork and Kerry.
I think there's a reason you're known as a good teacher. You explained that quite well.
Oh, thank you.
In fact, I'm thinking I'd need to be taking notes because we've had a number of traditional Irish groups on this show, either live or in conversation, and I sometimes have to ask the same questions because I haven't taken notes and I forget the answers to some of these.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then we have hornpipes, of which we're going to hear a couple in just a moment. How do those fit into the scheme of things?
Joe, will I take that again? You want to do it?
Sure. Well, I'm leaving these answers to Kate because she was a dancer and I was not.
And she's on a roll anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, really, this is all dance music. So that's my answer to a lot of the questions are, you know, it's music for a particular kind of dance.
Yeah. The hornpipe is going to be, again, in 4-4, like a reel. A reel is in 4-4 time, in common time. But the hornpipe, even though the time signature is 4-4, the rhythm has a little bit more of a hop in it. And there will typically be more notes in a measure in a hornpipe than there are in the reel. A lot of people tend to think that hornpipes are played slower than reels, but that's not always the case. Sometimes, even though there could be, you know, almost twice as many notes in a measure of a hornpipe, you sometimes have to play it quickly enough for the dancers. And what's really fun about the hornpipe is the dancers, both men and women dancers, again, this will be a solo step, but it can also be danced as a group in set dancing. But if you're dancing it as a solo dancer, you're going to be wearing what used to be hobnail shoes, which kind of then in American dancing developed into tap shoes or clogs, but in Irish dancing, traditionally you wore shoes that had hobnails pounded into the bottom of a thick sole. But now, of course, they have better materials, so the shoes are made out of fiberglass, and so that makes that loud tippity-tappity banging sound, and that's the hornpipe.
And here is a sample with Kate in the solo role, a couple of hornpipes here, Wade Hampton's, and is it Salt's Own, is that how you say that?
Yep.
This is from The High Bees, their CD called 40 Acre Notch of traditional Irish music. And Kate Dowling, are you on whistle here?
I'm on whistle, being accompanied by my brother, Brian Wade, on the baron.
And they're going to be at the Independent Media Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local. We just heard a couple of hornpipes, Wade Hampton's and Salt's own, performed by the High Bees, or in this case, half of the High Bees, and one extra, Kate Dowling on the whistle, and Brian Wade on the Bowron. The other half of the core of the High Bees is Jody Dowling, who we're going to hear in just a moment, but they're going to be tomorrow night at the Independent Media Center on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at 8 o'clock. That's in downtown Urbana in the old post office building. Thought we'd give you both a chance to be heard solo, since we're talking to you together, but also kind of separately. Before we do that, though, are you bringing anybody with you for tomorrow night's gig, or is it just going to be the two of you?
We are bringing our good friend Patsy O'Brien, and Patsy is traveling over from St. Louis, but he recently went on a tour with us. He's a great singer and guitarist, so we'll do some songs with Patsy, and like I say, he's a great guitarist, great backer.
He's originally from Cork as well, and I believe he's been through Urbana accompanying Patty Keenan, which the Piper's Hut series did maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah, Patty was actually on the show. He just came to the show just by himself, but then, as you said, he played with Patsy at the performance.
Yeah.
And Patty was fun to have on the show. I remember he played a little bit, but his pipes were being rather finicky that day. And
you know, I've never known a piper to say that their pipes are in great shape, ever.
Well, it was also a cold day, as I remember, and that always wreaks havoc on just about anybody's instrument.
Yeah.
And some more than others. Well, let's hear, Joe, what have we got here? We've got some reels from you.
Yeah, some reels, and accompanying me on this track is Dahi Sproul, one of our great friends, and an honorary high B when on some of our other performances.
And these reels, The Girl That Broke My Heart and Patty Ryan's Dream. I love some of these names. And it's Jody Dowling of the High Bees here on Live and Local. Thank you. Those were two reels, The Girl That Broke My Heart and Patty Ryan's Dream, played here by Jody Dowling on the fiddle with, how did you say it, Dahi?
Dahi Sproul, yeah.
Dahi Sproul on the guitar. You know, as a classical music host, which I was for about 13 years before doing this show, I have to pronounce a lot of different names in different languages, and the one that I usually just avoid, if I can, is Irish, because nothing looks like it sounds, at least to me.
No.
That's D-A-I-T-H-I. This is, this is his first name. The High Bees are the name of the group with Kate and Joe Dowling, and they're going to be at the Piper's Hut, on the Piper's Hut concert series, the Independent Media Center in Urbana, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. How do you adapt yourselves when you add more instruments to your group? Or maybe I should ask first, do you typically only add one at a time, one or two at a time, or do you sometimes play in a big band, so to speak?
Well, we do all sorts of things. Typically, if we have organized the performance ourselves, we will work with one of our accompanists who's available, usually a guitarist. And when we do a larger performance, for festivals, for example, we would probably add in a percussionist, which would be the Baron. And we've also performed as a larger group. Jody's brother and sister-in-law, who live in Belfast, are also a great fiddle and flute pair. And when they come to America, we've performed with them at festivals as well. So we might be up to 8 people, and then we might add in a singer. And the great thing about this music, really, is that once you know a core of about 500 tunes and you build on from there, everyone knows the same tunes. You may not play them exactly the same way, but typically we can get together with just about anyone, sit down and play just about any tune with them, and if there's an accompanist there, let them know what the keys are. And it's a sign of a good musician and a good group if you can be flexible and just have fun with it.
That's a lot of tunes to remember.
Yeah, we remember a lot more than that, but it's
really
it's kind of, you just do it. You don't even think about it.
I guess that's the key. If you have to think about it, then you're probably going to get stuck. I notice on your website you talk about having played in kitchens virtually around the world. Is that a favorite place for sessions to take place?
Well, it seems to be a fairly unthought about happening. It seems like quite a lot of times is that the musicians will gravitate to the kitchen area of whatever house it is that they're gathering in and strike up a tune around the kitchen table.
That's because the pots of tea and the food are in the kitchen, and you don't want to be too far from the food.
No, I would think not. Food and probably other kind of drink as well.
Sure, there might be a bottle of whiskey hidden away somewhere.
Oh, hidden, I'll bet. And I'll bet you everybody knows where it's hidden. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Kate and Jody Dowling of the High Bees, and we're going to get to hear another tune of yours. And what did we decide? I think we're going to do some polkas.
Yeah, I think we'll close out with some polkas, some more Cork and Kerry music.
When it says these are called John Walsh's and Jim Keefe's. So I assume that's like John Walsh's polka, Jim Keefe's polka. Is that what that refers to?
Right. Yep.
And then this middle one, which I don't want to try to pronounce, what is that?
The Ciangula.
Which means?
I'm not even quite sure. I think it might be a place name.
Kate?
Typically, I would say it's a place name, probably.
Okay, well, we're going to have to Google that later and get
good luck. Gaelic stumps the Google, I think.
Oh, does it really? Okay, great. Well, I might try it anyway. Maybe there's a Gaelic Google. The High Bees are going to be at the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. For more information on the High Bees, you can go to, it looks like, Hibs Music, HIBSmusic.com. And Piper's Hut is Piper's-Hut.com, I believe. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Some jigs, or rather polkas, played by the High Bees here on Live and Local. Bees here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. On tomorrow's show, we have Toby Twining, musician whose music will be featured on the November Dance from the University of Illinois Department of Dance tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center, and that continues through the weekend. We'll be talking with him for the hour. Otherwise, on our calendar, we have Jeff Arrigo, singer-songwriter performing at Aroma Cafe in downtown Champaign. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. The musical Hairspray opens at Champaign Central High School tonight at 7 and continues through the weekend. Craig Gaskin and friends play blues and jazz at Senator's Inn and Pub in Champaign. Not sure of the time for tonight, but that's sometime this evening. Verdi's Rigoletto, you'll hear some highlights from the University of Illinois Opera Department at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute in their free music hour tomorrow at noon. That's on the main Carl Clinic campus in Urbana. And Sinfonietta Camera plays their concert called Extraordinary Voices tomorrow night at 7:30 down in Urbana at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And a show called God Grew Tired of Us at the Joyce Eichhorn Ames School of Art at in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Support for our show today on FM 90.9 comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held in the Bouvant's Tasting Room on Saturdays from noon to 4. This Saturday's tasting features an array of Italian and domestic wines. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. The forecast calls for an increasingly cloudy afternoon with a high temperature around 58 degrees, although we're still holding at 48. Tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, the low near 38 degrees. Tomorrow's high around 52 under a mostly cloudy sky. Friday, only a high of around 42 degrees. It'll be mostly sunny. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WINL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville.